This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. If you would like to send feedback, you can call me at 734-331-0772. Or you can send feedback to sci-fi, S-C-I-F-I, at deliberatenoise.com. Hold on one second. Alright, sorry about that. As soon as I come outside to record, then all of a sudden the dogs want to get rambunctious. Anyway, as I was saying. What else was I saying? I gave you the phone number, gave you the email, gave you the website. Alright, let's start the show. It is such a nice day outside that I decided to record outside. Every now and then, I will do that. It's a little bit different from a driving around show. Because when I'm driving around, I have no access to anything other than the car and my memory. So a lot of times, I like to talk about, you know, just basic concepts and that kind of thing. When I'm at my desktop and I'm inside, that's when I try to at least back it up with some sort of research being done. But then when it's days like this, I try to, you know, I kind of like just think back and do the whole memory thing. Not trying to remember what I wanted to talk about, but just think about things that I did when I was younger. For some reason, this morning I was thinking about the sci-fi shows that I would watch after school. There were two in the Detroit area that I really remember. And I want to say it about 77, 78. Yeah, when I would come home from, whatchamacallit, what's that thing called? Middle school. I'd come home, run straight to the TV because it would take me a while to get home. I can't ever remember why. I think it's because I had to catch a bus, and sometimes I'd miss the bus. Or sometimes I was just, you know, I was a kid. I was a, 10-year-old kid, so I'd walk slow. But the TV show that I would really rush to get home, it was, we'd get out of school at 3:15, and I would usually catch, like, the last part. If I was lucky, I'd get home around 3:45, and I would catch, unless, of course, I got the buses, I said, and I'd get home probably about 3:30. There are two shows that I would love, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they would show Ultraman, and on Tuesday and Thursday, they would show Johnny Sacco. Now, I know a lot of people have a lot of love for Ultraman. I mean, it's one of those things, it's one of those TV shows, I think most kids my age, most people my age, when they were kids, they watched at least once. It had, wasn't the Science Police, I want to say it was a Science Patrol or Space Police, something like that, right? Whatever it was really kind of close to the law enforcement agency that the Legion of Superheroes dealt with, because they were the Science Police, so that's why I said it was either, I think that's what I think was like the Space Police. Anyway, Hayata was the guy who we followed around, and he had this little push-button remote control-like thing, so that whenever monsters would attack Japan, mostly Tokyo, of course, he would press this button, and he would become a giant superhero-type deal, like a metallic man who was as big as the monsters, and that he could shoot rays at them. He could fight them physically, but he could only be on. He could only be like there for like 2 minutes, because then the pollution in Earth's atmosphere would cause him to have to leave. So he would. So that was two things that meant. It meant number one that it meant that the show didn't have him in it for most of it, right? Let's say it's a 30-minute show, including commercials. He wouldn't be around for like 28 minutes. So it was a lot of setup. It was a lot of espionage type deals and monsters destroying stuff before Ultraman would finally come. But that was the drawback. The good part was, is once he became Ultraman, then you know that butt was about to get kicked, right? Which was really cool, because that's one of the reasons I didn't really like Ultraman all that much, is because things were moving slow. You know, I'm a kid. I want to see Ultraman come and kick some butt, and he only did it at the very end. So when he did come out, it was really cool. But you knew that the show was almost over, right? And it was almost always the same thing, right? He would, Hayato would turn into Ultraman. Ultraman would start fighting. It's a pretty even battle. Or the monster would get the upper hand on Ultraman. And then when he was almost being beaten, the thing on his chest will start to flash. I mean, that he only had a few seconds before he had to leave, or else, you know, I don't know what would happen. I don't know if they ever said what would happen if his thing stopped to flash. I can't remember. But anyway, so he would, it was kind of like him, you know, if you're a pro wrestling fan, you know what I mean, but it would be him hulking up. Once that thing started flashing, and all of a sudden he'd get this boost of energy, and then he'd defeat the monster, and then he'd fly off in outer space, right? I mean, that was basically Ultraman in a nutshell. If you see one episode that followed that basic premise, and you've seen them all. But, you know, I'm 10 years old. It was cool. However, like I said, they show that 3 times a week. The one that I really liked was Johnny Sacco and his flying robot. Now, and I think I may have even mentioned this on an episode of Comic Book Noise before, but the reason that I liked it is probably for the same reason that a lot of people liked the whole Captain Marvel, Shazam thing, why Prime, when he came around, did so well, and even why Miracle Man did as well as he did. It's this whole wish fulfillment thing with Johnny Sacco. It's this kid who stumbled across the Gargoyle Gang, right? These are the bad guys, the Gargoyle Gang. He stumbled across their secret base, and he had a and for some reason, I can't remember, and I know I've seen, I know I have the VHS downstairs, but he got this watch that had him control their greatest weapon, which was this giant robot. And he figured, you know, you flip it up, you start talking, giant robot, attack, giant robot, punch, that kind of thing. He could control this giant robot, but he was the only one who could do it, right? And that was kind of, to me, as a 10-year-old kid, this kid looked like he was just a little bit older than me, maybe not even. And that was a lot more wish fulfillment than Hayata and Ultraman, because while Hayata became Ultraman for 2 minutes, Johnny Sacco was the guy who was in charge. You know, they needed Johnny Sacco. So here it is. This kid had all the power, right? And his giant robot was used more than just 2 minutes, right? Now, a lot of times, his giant robot was used just to cart him from one spot to another, which, you know, if I was a giant robot, I don't know, if I had a giant robot, I think I would do more than that, but if I was a giant robot, I'd be kind of pissed. But that was kind of cool. He fought a bunch of different monsters. Like, there was one monster that was an eye with legs. There was one that was just a giant fist. Later on, he even fought a second giant robot who was as evil as our giant robot was good, you know. And I think he might have even been stronger than our giant robot. But it was really, really such a good show. But on top of that, it kind of spoiled me for shows, because there was this recurring villain. But not only was there a recurring villain who had a logical motivation, which was to take over the world and to get back the giant robot and take over the world. But on top of that, there was an actual ending. Okay. And not too many shows do that. Science fiction or any, most kid shows do not do that. This is one of the reasons why the TV show Dungeons and Dragons really turned me off. It was my favorite cartoon for a long time, but then I realized that they were never going to get home. You know, nothing was ever going to happen for them. And that's why when you have a show that actually has a definitive ending, I kind of like it a little bit more, you know. You can say all the bad things you want about shows like Lost and Quantum Leap, especially their ending, but at least they had an ending. You know, Babylon 5 had an ending. You know, things just didn't go on forever and ever, like Star Trek, you know, or Star Trek The Next Generation. But, you know, these things had definitive endings, and I like that. You know, Babylon 5 had one. Star Trek Voyager had one, right? I mean, they had logical endings, especially Voyager, but there was an ending. And, you know, I dug that. And I got that appreciation of an ending for a show from Johnny Sacco. Because there was Guillotine, who was the king of monsters, basically. And in the very last episode, not to spoil anything, but Guillotine and the giant robot had a battle to the death, you know. And I remember seeing that episode, and I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is this the last one? Is this the Arno more? I came back the next time that it was scheduled, and it was the first episode. So I was like, wow, this had an actual ending. And I think there were only like 30 episodes, maybe. Maybe as many as 60. I can't remember. Let me go look that up. I'll be right back. Let's go inside. Okay, no, apparently I was wrong. Apparently there's only 26 episodes. Wow, weird. Apparently this is tokusatsu. That is the type of show that it is. And according to Wikipedia, tokusatsu is a Japanese term that applies to any live-action film or television drama that usually features superheroes or makes considerable use of special effects. Tokusatsu literally translates as special filming in Japanese. That is movies like Godzilla and Gamera, those film series, as well as superhero TV serials like Kamen Rider and Metal Hero series, which I do not remember either one. Or mecha dramas such as Giant Robo, which I believe is what the name is for Giant Robot. I'll check that in a second. But also shows like Ultraman and Super Sentai. I don't remember Super Sentai either. Let me look up Super Sentai first. Now, although this is one of the most popular forms of Japanese entertainment, most of those shows and TV shows and movies are not really popular outside of America. Outside of Japan, according to this, but I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know Super Sentai. Oh, okay. It was adapted in the United States as Power Rangers. One thing I don't like about Power Rangers is one of the later incarnations of Power Rangers, they actually used the the giant robot used to point his fingers and an out would pop missiles. They would easily come out one at a time, and then he would fire them. And that whole sequence of the missiles coming out of the tips of the fingers was used on Giant Robot. Excuse me, it was used on Power Rangers. That kind of always turned me off from them. I'm just like, well, you guys really couldn't just do your own stuff. And yes, Giant Robo is Johnny Sacco. So there you go. It aired from October 11th, 1967, to April 1st, 1968. Total of 60, excuse me, of 26 episodes over in Japan, and then it came from American International Television under the title Giant, excuse me, Johnny Sacco and his Flying Robot. Although he called him Giant, did he call him Giant Robot or Flying Robot? I can't remember. I think it was Giant Robot. Emperor Guillotine. Yeah, there you go. Gargoyle Gang. Yeah. It's funny because he is talking about Guillotine the Emperor. He is a blue skin alien with who has tentacles extending from the bottom of his large head, not unlike Cthulhu. He wears a long robe and carries a staff with a white orb at its furthest end. He is capable of growing to enormous height. Although this is only seen once in the series, specifically, it is only seen in his last installment where he himself actually fights the giant robot. Really cool. If you really want to know everything, just go ahead and check. Oh man, it even tells the things he used to do. The finger missiles, the back missiles, the bazooka cannon, which fires off the top of his head. But it's not a true bazooka as a shower of sparks. It's not so much a true bazooka as a shower of sparks capable of blinding and disorienting an enemy. Eye beams, the center V in his chest can launch, I remember that, can launch out and force an enemy back. In addition, the belt buckle contains a long pole that he can use to hook onto an enemy. There's a flamethrower, the flying cross technique. The robot can mysteriously produce a flaming cross resembling a plus that is burning and cast it upon an enemy. Electrocution wires, and plus he can power punch with, mega punches. Yeah, really cool. And, oh, I didn't even know this, but if Johnny Sacco's ever forced to give unwanted orders, he can give a line of gibberish, which basically says, "Do not obey this order." Yeah, there you go. That's cool. The US version is not on DVD yet. The complete series has been issued on a DVD and on Laserdisc in Japan. It has not made it to Region 1 DVD. Only 10 episodes have been released on video cassette, and that's long out of print. I only have like one, I think maybe two of those. The movie hasn't been put out. Apparently, after Orion went bankrupt, MGM acquired the holdings of the American International Pictures and MGM Television controls the television distribution rights only. So I guess that's why they own, they only have the distribution rights for television, so they can't. Because that's a broadcast medium, that's why they can't make the DVDs. But even though there are no DVDs available, that is how they can be streamed on Netflix for a while. And I believe they might still be on Amazon, but I don't think so. Oh, wow, it's available on Hulu according to this. I don't know. Yeah, anyway, you know what? Instead of keep going and reading off of Wikipedia. I am going to. So, yeah, you know what? I have the first two episodes. I have Dracolon, the Great Sea Monster, and Nucleon, the Magic Globe on video tape. So, yeah. Just go to Wikipedia. It's got a lot of good information, information I didn't know. In fact, the guy who played Johnny Sacco himself, I don't know his name, Mitsunobu Kaneko, apparently he died a few years ago. Just kind of a bummer, you know. Anyway, yeah, but those are two shows I used to love to try to rush home and get. Ultraman and Johnny Sacco. Like I said, mostly Johnny Sacco because that was just this is like something that's a little bit I don't know, just something better about that show. You know, I mean, it obviously wasn't as popular as Ultraman because Ultraman has been out in I think comic books since then. animated show, a couple of other Ultraman series. I think it was even like Ultraman Jr. or something. But to me, as much as I liked Ultraman, he never really connected with me the way that Johnny Sacco and a Flying Robot did. I don't know. Like I said, other people may have different opinions. Yeah. So, anyway, thank you for listening. This is kind of a short show. I don't even think I hit half an hour, but oh well. I would much rather stop. Because this show already has a lot of filler in it, a lot of ums and uhs and, let me go check. Kind of that kind of stuff. Blank spots. So hopefully, hope you don't get bent out of shape. And if you do, just come back for another episode or listen to one in the past. Thank you for listening. Visit the website, deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, or don't, I guess. I don't know what else to say. Anyway, thanks, and I'll be back soon with another episode. Como um banco.